gamblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Now, I know you may be thinking, hey, we are officially in the dog days of summer. NBA's done, football still months away. What are we going to talk about? Baseball? No, we're not talking about baseball. First up today, we've got Action Network's Brandon Anderson coming on to talk about betting the NBA draft, which is Thursday night. Brandon came highly recommended, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. He's got a really fun Chet Holmgren bet that I'm excited about, too. Then our old buddy David Purdom of ESPN is back. Dave's going to tell us about all the action books are already taking on next football season. Some surprises in there. Apparently, people love the Jets. Not going to work out well. I'm just telling you right now. Not going to end well. Bet on the Jets. We'll find out why people are betting on the Jets shortly. First, though, let's get things started with Brandon Anderson. Brandon, thrilled to have you on, my man. This is actually a long time coming because we have a mutual friend, Raheem Palmer, now of the Ringer. And for a while, he's been like, hey, Brandon's my guy. You got to invite Brandon on. So, any friend of Raheem's is a friend of mine. I'm thrilled that we could finally make this work.
Exactly how I feel. Any friend of Raheem's is a friend of mine, of yours. We've completed the triangle now, right? So glad to be on. I've heard good things. I'm excited to be a part of the show. Excited for NBA draft. We're coming up. This is one of my favorite times of the year for sure. So I'm ready to get into it.
So when we were texting, you were like, just like almost randomly, you were like, yeah, NBA draft is like Christmas for me. Why is that? I love that. Why is it like Christmas?
I had to catch myself. I almost just said it again, like 20 seconds ago. I almost called it Christmas. Now I must admit, in Brandon's sports world, there are like 15 Christmases. Like it's okay. Christmas, March Madness, opening weekend, Christmas, NBA draft, Christmas, NFL draft, Christmas. There's a few times of year, but I think NBA draft, I mean, NBA is my favorite one to follow. And it's Christmas because every team gets a present. You know, everyone gets to open up. There's a new package waiting under the Christmas tree and everyone gets something. Even the teams that didn't get something still had a chance to get in there, get a pick. There are always trades on draft night. It's a great time to imagine the future, you know? We just crowned an NBA champion. The eternal NBA season is finally over. And what did we have, like 2 days to settle in and talk about Steph as a top 10 and all those things. And now it's back to imagination station where every team is good and all 30 teams can one day win the championship. And I like to dream. And NBA draft night is just a chance to dream from a betting standpoint. It's a chance to just wildly speculate and find long odds and take advantage of just the crazy unpredictability of things. So it's a lot of fun. I love watching. It's a whirlwind. We always get to like midnight on draft night and I just crash hard. Like I'm so exhausted after all the rumors and, you know, the Woj bombs all night and this it's Christmas. I just love it.
My wife mocks me for this. I even like watching the old drafts that they replay on NBA TV. You get to see the guys coming into the league. You get to see the crazy outfits, the girlfriends, that kind of thing. So I'm right there with you, Brandon. Real quick, before we get into the bets and whatnot, the order, all that stuff, how do you come up with what you are going to bet on for the draft? What's your process like? Because certainly this is going to be different than betting on a finals game, for instance.
Definitely. So for me, the main thing, kind of my MO on NBA draft betting, I am betting on unpredictability. So the more certain that something is to happen, the more that I'm like, yeah, but what if it didn't? And how can I bet on the thing that you're saying is not going to happen happening? What would that outcome look like? Raheem would tell you, this is kind of just, that's who I am in general. That's the bet is, we all think this thing, but what about the other thing? And the draft is a really important place to do that. For example, and I will talk more about this in a second, Paolo Banchero to go number 3 in the draft has been the surefire locked in thing for a month now. He's been as high as like -1,000 to go 3rd. Jaden Ivey has a huge minus number to go 4th. Look, I think Paolo most likely goes third and Jaden Ivey goes fourth, but how can we pretend to be so sure that two draft picks are absolutely locked in when everyone freely admits we don't know who's going number one? We don't know who's going number two. How do we know that we know three and four when we don't know the first two? And everything is a domino effect and it all comes together. I'm a strengths finders guy, and connectedness is one of my strengths. So I love envisioning, well, what if Chet doesn't go number one, then what happens? What if Jaden Ivey goes number two, then what happens? So how do I bet the draft is I like to just think of these scenarios and say, okay, well, what if this thing we think is all true is actually a smokescreen? Or what about this rumor? Right now we're hearing Keegan Ivey to the Kings, who definitely want to keep their number four pick. Well, who benefits from us hearing that? Does Keegan Ivey benefit? Keegan Murray. Does Keegan Murray benefit? Does Keegan Murray's agent benefit by getting a rumor out there? Do the Kings benefit because they want to trade the pick? The thing we've known for a month. We know the Kings want to trade the pick. So, of course, they want everyone to know, oh, no, we are keeping the pick, because that makes the trade value a little better. It's not good to say, we don't want this pick. We don't like anyone. You take it. The trade value goes bad. So I love the tea leaves. I love to read between the lines and say, okay, here's the rumor we're being told. What can I read into that? Why is this being leaked? What's the real information to learn here? And, it's like a murder mystery dinner, and we get it from 30 teams. I've been invited, Josh, to a murder mystery dinner hosted by 30 NBA GMs. How can you get a better Christmas than that?
I love that. That's such a good setup. It's also a good segue. Talk about unpredictability, Brandon. So right now, we're recording this Tuesday afternoon. It's 3:44 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday afternoon. As of now, most books still have Jabari going one, Jabari Smith of Auburn, Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga going two, and then Paolo Banchero, the Dookie, going three. I have specific odds written down, but I'm not going to give them out because it appears as though things are changing so quickly, even though everybody thought that was going to be the top three, or at least that was the heavy favorite to be the order that the top three go in. Now I'm seeing especially Paolo really moving up draft boards. Your top three all along, Brandon, was a little different than everybody else's. Where's your head at right now? Those top three guys, who's going where?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. At Action Network, our Matt Moore reported about this. On Sunday morning, Paolo Banchero was an afterthought for the number one pick. It was a two-horse race. It was Jabari or Chet, probably Jabari. He'd been the favorite all along. Sweet shooter from Auburn, easy to fall in love with. Makes sense. I think he's been the favorite. I think he is the favorite. Along the way, Jabari got to minus 400, minus 500. He became that sure thing that I was like, ooh, time to bet on not Jabari now. So we got there. Now we've gotten all the way back to where Jabari's a shorter favorite. But on Sunday, what was interesting, that what Matt reported on, is Paolo Banchero went from like 16 to 1 or 18 to 1 to just kind of, you see the number just quietly moving, 12 to 1, 10 to 1, 8 to 1. By Monday morning, he was down to like 8 or 9 at every book. By Monday afternoon, he was getting ready to write about it, and he had dropped to like 4 to 1. Now, overnight into Tuesday, well, not even now, now when you listen, it'll be different again. But now, as of recording, Paolo is like 3 to 1 or 2 to 1, and he has jumped Chet and become the second favorite now. And so where do I go on this? Well, on lottery night, I picked in my initial mock draft, I took Chet Holmgren to be the number one pick. Here's the reason. John Hammond is the Orlando Magic GM. If you don't know John Hammond, John Hammond is a guy that looks at an NBA draft class and says, you know what I want? I want a star, and I want the longest, gangliest, gnarliest prospect in the entire draft. Give me that dude. That's who I'm drafting. John Hammond is the man that drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nobody is longer and gnarlier than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously, that one worked. John Hammond also drafted Mo Bamba. Didn't work so well for Orlando. Drafted Jonathan Isaac. Worked well, but he got hurt. But the man has a type. And so Chet Holmgren, to me, is that type. No one Like you couldn't have designed a better prospect in a lab for John Hammond than Chet Holmgren, as far as the length and the versatile skill set and his ability to impact the game in so many ways. A lot of evaluators do have, like you said, Paolo at the top. A lot of them have Jabari. A lot have Chet too. And to me, in smokescreen season, the way that you bet this is you have two options. Either you say, nope, Jabari's been the favorite. Jabari's always been the favorite. He's the one. And actually, we've got a pretty short number on him. I can get Jabari at minus 130, minus 140, 150. That's not bad. He's been on top of every mock, every board. You know, Jonathan Givony at ESPN has said every executive expects Jabari number one. Every team expects number one. If you believe all that, that's great. You're in on Jabari. Just drown out the noise. Ignore all the smoke screens. Forget the line move. Bet Jabari. If you don't believe that, or if you believe that this is open and that we don't know where it will go, Paolo hasn't even worked out with Orlando as far as we know. Chet Holmgren did not give his medicals to Orlando as far as we know. But if you believe this is open, then you've got to watch this. Because literally, Josh, since you and I started talking, I've seen the odds move again on Paolo and on Chet. Moving odds mean value. Earlier, like 2 hours ago, I bet Chet Holmgren at plus 375 to be the number one pick. Right now, I'm seeing him at plus 250. That's a lot of value lost. He was a good value bet earlier. He's less of a good value bet now. They're starting to come back a little value maybe on Paolo. So I think either you just close your eyes, put your fingers in your ears and like, la, 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 Jabari Smith, and that's the bet. Or you build a position on Paolo and Chet and just kind of like look for the right number. You know, betting is always a value proposition. So I think you got to go one end or the other if you're going to play this.
You talked about, this is smokescreen season. We're in a murder mystery here. And you like to think about why a team, you know, might put a certain smokescreen out there. Is your thought process that Orlando may like everybody thinking that they're going to take Jabari when they really want Chet? Because then maybe somebody comes and says, hey, we love Jabari. We're going to trade with you. And then they could still get Chet at 2-3, wherever. And get a little something else in addition. Is that the logic that you're going with there?
There is a bit of that. I'll be honest. I don't know what Orlando is doing. I don't know what Orlando truly has to gain by leaking or not leaking or whatever. All the other picks, you have something to gain because, yeah, you're pushing for the trade or whatever else. You don't screw around at number one. The Orlando Magic, when is the last time the Orlando Magic have mattered? Like, truly mattered, you know? Like, in the 90s, when I was growing up, like that, like Shaq and Penny, you have the number one pick. Take the guy that you want. But we just watched the NBA Finals. Jason Tatum was in the NBA Finals. I think back to a few years ago when Boston had the number one pick, knew that they wanted Jason Tatum, but did find a way to trade down from 1 to 3, got a haul, got Jason Tatum the guy they wanted anyway. It worked out pretty well for them. And got off of the Markel Fultz spot. So it's hard for me to believe that's truly what's happening here, but I think that's the best case for the smokescreen is, at the very least, maybe you can convince Oklahoma City at 2. Hey, we want the guy you want. You want this guy, right? Yeah, we want that guy. So come up and get him. You know, if you move down one spot and you know for sure who they're taking at that spot, that's a no-lose proposition. If you get something out of it, get the guy you want anyway and are guaranteed to get him. Maybe you do that. I don't think you screw around too much and drop one down to 3 or down to 4, unless it's like, well, maybe they just want Jaden Ivey or something different entirely. So I don't know. I don't know what Orlando is trying to accomplish. And again, it might not be Orlando. It might be Oklahoma City who's kind of putting the smoke out and they want to see if they can accomplish something. Maybe they want to convince Houston to trade up to number one. So Orlando drops number 3 and they get, you know, we don't know. So it's tough to read. It's fun. I'm excited to find out.
Right now, your best guess is that it goes Chet, Jabari, Paolo still. Is that correct?
I would say right now, my best value bet would be Chet, Jabari, Paolo. I think my best guess is that Jabari goes number one. I think that still is the most likely scenario. but I don't want to bet on Jabari given the odds. The bet that I would make, if I am betting number one, if you were listening and want to bet number one, Chet Holmgren is the value bet that I would make. I think the most likely outcome is Jabari, but that's the sort of better I am. I'm looking for the ROI. I'm not afraid to lose a little bit if I get the big win.
That makes sense. I will say that this was interesting to me. I was looking at FanDuel right before we came on. They still had Jabari as the favorite to go one, Chet as the favorite to go two, and Paolo as the favorite to go three. However, if you just look at the odds to go first overall, they had Jabari as the favorite, followed by Paolo, saying that even though they basically odds-wise still think that Paolo is going to go three, they believe there's a better chance of Paolo going one than Chet going one.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's important too at this point to remember there's a lot happening behind the scenes at the books also. The books are not really interested in predicting outcomes. That's a good way to lose money. They know this. That's why the casinos are really big. Maybe the line is moving at the book because maybe they got a big bet on Paolo and they're like, oh, well, we need to even out our liability now. Let's see if we can get some action over here on Chet. You know, like there are, it's easy as a bettor to look at the number and be like, oh, holy cow, everyone's betting on Paolo. I don't want to miss out. I have to bet on Paolo now. And so then everyone bets on him. But now when everyone else bets on him, then the line goes a different way because they're like, well, that's too much money on him. That's a liability for us. Let's go back the other way. Suddenly everyone bets the other way. So it's really tricky to read on here. What's interesting is, so I have Chet Holmgren on the top of my draft board. I think he is the guy to get at the top of the draft. He's the guy I'm betting at the top of the draft. However, I'm also betting Chet Holmgren to be the number four draft pick.
Hold on. We're going to, I want to hit that with you later. Cause I love that. That's a little tease for the listeners. I love that one. Before we get there though, it looks like there's been a lot of movement in the four spot here recently too. As of Monday night, Jaden Ivey, guard out of Purdue, was a -250 favorite to go fourth. As of Tuesday afternoon, however, Ivy -125 to go number four. Keegan Murray out of Iowa also -125 to go fourth. This comes after Woj recently reported a bunch of teams, including Pistons, Pacers, Knicks, Wizards, are apparently interested in trading up. It's currently the Kings pick, but apparently a lot of pressure on the Kings to make the playoffs, so they may be looking to deal. What do you think happens here, Brandon?
Yeah, I think what's happening with the line movement is this. The Kings and Jaden Ivey are not a good pairing for each other. We already got De'Aaron Fox. Fox and Ivey together, probably not the best pairing. Davion Mitchell, last year's draft pick. Of course, because it's the Kings. Ironically, the great pairing would be Jaden Ivey with Tyrese Halliburton, the guy they gave away. That'd be a great pairing. We love that in Sacramento. But the Kings wanted Fox. They wanted Domantas Sabonis. They're trying to win now. And so I think what's happening here is this. Ivy to be the number four pick is still the most likely, but Tuesday morning, Shams Charania is reporting, oh, the Kings are going to keep their pick now. And so if the Kings do keep their pick, I think what we're seeing is, well, if Sacramento does the pick themselves, they can't take Jaden Ivy. He's not a good fit. They need a nice combo forward, a good scorer out of Iowa. They need Keegan Murray. So I think what we're seeing is not necessarily Sacramento has changed their mind on who they like. It's more Sacramento has changed their mind, or leaked at least. We might actually keep the pick. And if we keep the pick, that's a Keegan Murray pick. If we trade the pick, it's a Jaden Ivey pick, I think is kind of the odds we're going there. I don't buy the Murray hype quite as much. I've heard the same thing you have, Josh. I've heard, you know, the Spurs are a team I think that's really high on him. I'm seeing a lot of Keegan Murray to Indiana. That makes sense in theory. I don't buy that one. Keegan Murray, you know, if you think of comps for him, it's like every Indiana forward in the last, like Paul George and Danny Granger and like all the Indiana forwards. Like, oh, TJ Warren, yeah, that's him. But it looks like the Pacers are trying to blow this up. And they're trying to trade Malcolm Brogdon. They're trying to get off of Miles Turner. Indiana has not had a top nine draft pick since the 1980s. The Pacers don't get this high of a swing. When you get a high swing, Do you know what you don't take? You don't take a guy whose outcome is Tobias Harris or TJ Warren, who turns 22 in August. If you're at the top of the draft, it's because you're bad. And if you're bad in a star-driven league, you need stars. You need to take the swing on Shaedon Sharpe or on Dyson Daniels or on one of these unknown younger guys. So I'm fading the sure thing right now that I'm fading most is Keegan Murray is a sure thing top five pick. Every mock now has him fourth and a fifth. And I might just be wrong on it, but I just don't think Keegan Murray goes top five. He would be the second oldest top five draft pick in the last nine drafts. He just doesn't fit the profile. We don't draft college upperclassmen in the top five. It's just not what we do.
Speaking of Sacramento trying to make the playoffs this year, having an edict from their owner, what have you, I've seen the stat in a couple places. Do you know how many coaches the Kings have had since they last made the playoffs? You want to guess?
I will guess. I'm going to guess eight. I do know that the Kings have literally had in Sacramento one coach ever that they've made the playoffs with, and they fired him. I know that, but I'm guessing eight. How did I do?
It's 12.
Oh my goodness.
It's 12. They last made the playoffs in 2006 under Rick Adelman. Here's who they've had since. I'd give you the chance to guess, but there's no way you're going to get half these. Certainly wouldn't. Eric Musselman, Reggie Theus, Kenny Natt, Paul Westphal, Keith Smart, Michael Malone, Tyrone Corbin, George Karl, Dave Joerger, Luke Walton, Alvin Gentry, Mike Brown is the current coach. 12. Nuts.
That's bad. And there's good coaches on that list too. You know, there are good winning coaches.
I know.
But yeah, our guy Rick Adelman, I believe, had a winning season and made the playoffs every single year in Sacramento. But if you remember, that was those like the Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, Peja Stojakovic.
Vladi, yeah.
Vladi, yep. They got close and they never quite get over the hump. So they decided, all right, Rick Adelman, we're done with you. We want to bring in the 12 guys you just listed as like the 12 days of Christmas for the Kings. But they're just stuck in always winter and never Christmas instead.
that's right. I like that we're continuing with the Christmas theme here. Let's go through some of these bets that you like. We've already talked about a couple of them, and you were nice enough to send some of your leans my way. And obviously, this is very fluid. So if you've changed your mind on any of this, I would completely understand. You let me know. I want to start off with a couple of them that I think you really like. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Again, though, the Kansas guard, forgive me. How do you say his name again? I always screw this up.
Yeah, it's Okche Agbaji, but it's a tough one to do.
There we go. You've got him going over 13 and a half. So basically, he would need to be picked 14th or later for you to win this one. Why do you like that?
This actually, right now, at this moment, and the odds move fast, but this is my favorite prop on the board right now. Agbaji is a really good player. He is a knockdown shooter. He's long. He's a good defender. He's 22. He's ready to play right now. He's the exact sort of guy that, look, we just watched the playoffs the last 2 months. Like, Agbaji can walk in and play some minutes in the finals, probably, and play on most of these teams. What team doesn't want an NBA ready-made 3-and-D guy? Sounds like I just made the case for the under, but here's where it changes. Top of the draft in the lottery, you don't need the 22-year-old ready-made guy. You need the swing. You need to take a gamble on upside. This is a really intriguing wing class. Here are some wings that I am very confident go ahead of Okche Agbaji. AJ Griffin from Duke, Benedict Mathurin, Arizona, Johnny Davis from Wisconsin, Dyson Daniels out of the G League, Shaedon Sharpe. Those guys are almost certainly going ahead of Agbaji. And two of the guys that I really like just as an evaluator late in the process, Ohio State's Malachi Branham, I think reminds me a lot of like a Jaylen Brown or Chris Middleton type. He had a great close of the season. And then the top international guy, Usman Jang, another guy that finished really strong, reportedly grew an inch or two during the season, super young, super high potential. Those are all wing players. Those are the guys that an NBA team is sitting saying, well, I like Agbaji, but he's 22. Malachi Branham's 19. Agbaji is a little better right now, but what about 3 years from now when Malachi is as old then as Agbaji is now? What will that extra 3 years of development do? So to me, the 13 and a half number is key. I think it's a really sharp line, but I want to bet the over now before it moves. Cavs at 14, really good fit for Agbaji. That's the exact sort of team, a playoff team that needs a wing to come in. Great. Sign up Agbaji. He'll be a good pick for them. This is not a hate on him. Hornets at 15. I can see that makes sense. The Hawks at 16 or the Wolves at 19. I like all those fits. Agbaji is a nice pick for those teams. But to me, the ready-made veteran 3-and-D guy, that's the guy you take if you're one of those playoff now teams that need someone to slot in. And there are so many interesting wings in the class that can go ahead of Agbaji that, for me, this is like a bet on Malachi Branham and Usman Jang by fading Agbaji, because there are only so many draft picks out there. And I think that maybe some of those guys go before him.
You've talked me into that one. I like that a lot. Right. Jalen Duren, center out of Memphis. You've got him going over 10 and a half, so 11 or later. How come?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because Jalen Duren is the exact sort of prospect that I typically fade, but that doesn't always go so well for me from a betting standpoint. Here's what I mean. Jalen Duren is, the physical profile is clear. He's a huge dude. He's physical. He's strong on the glass. He's going to be a big lob threat. And we've learned, look, you just watch the playoffs, Josh. Centers get played off the court. We're playing small now. We want to have versatility. This is the NBA I watch, and I don't see a lot of that from Jalen Duren. I see Jalen Duren as an 82 gamer, not a 16 gamer, as Draymond would say, like the guy for the regular season that is not necessarily my franchise center I want to build around. The tools are there. The upside is there. He's super young. All the upside things that we talked about. But I'm betting against him being the top 10 just because I don't know. Centers in the NBA are fungible today. If you're not an absolute superstar on both ends, either a stud defender or just, you know, Jokic or Towns, like an absolute lethal scorer, then you are just one of the guys. And there are so many centers out there like that. And we just listed off how many, like eight intriguing wings that might go in the lottery. If I just have an intriguing wing or an intriguing big man, and I have to just, I don't know anything else about them, which one do I want on my team? It's 2022. I want the wing. I need more wings. I can play three or four wings on the court at once. I can only ever play one Jalen Duren, and I don't know if I can play him. So to me, that is really not even as much a bet against Duren. It's a bet on the direction where the NBA is going. And again, I need the 10 and a half number. I have Jalen Duren mocked at 11 to the Knicks. So he's just barely getting out of that section for me. But the edges are really tight in these things.
We just talked about Keegan Murray. Pretty much everybody's got him going top five. You're fading it. You like him to go over 5.5. Here's another fun one. I like this. It kind of made me sad, but I like the player. Kentucky's Shaedon Sharpe. I'm a long-suffering Wizards fan, and I kind of wanted the big swing on him at 10, but it sounds like you don't think he's making it there. You have him. You're betting him to go 7th or earlier, right?
Yeah, the under Shaedon Sharpe, 7.5, kind of ties with the Keegan Murray over 5.5. We talked about Keegan earlier. He's a little older. He's a more of a surefire thing. Shaedon Sharpe is the opposite of everything that is. Shaedon Sharpe is the inverse of Keegan Murray. He's younger. He's raw. He's unknown. Shaedon Sharpe might never be as good as Keegan Murray is right now. You don't just automatically develop in the next 3 years and become the next thing. But I think a team that likes Shaedon Sharpe is looking for this year's Jalen Green. Like, they're looking for the give me a 25 points a game scorer, a future all-star. They're looking for something with a higher outcome than that Tobias Harris, TJ Warren thing we talked about. I don't know if that's Shaedon Sharpe. I don't know if teams know what that is. You called him Kentucky's Shaedon Sharpe. That man never played a second at Kentucky. He practiced at Kentucky. Like, never we played. Haven't seen this guy play. We don't know what he looks like. So he's a wild card. I'll say this. I wrote about this. So I have at Action Network, I have an article up taking the over on Keegan Murray. I have another one up taking the under on Shaedon Sharpe. The closer we get to the draft, the more I'm hearing buzz about Dyson Daniels, another young wing upside guy who might go in that top 7 or 8. I'm liking Usman Jang, another wing upside guy who might sneak in there. I want to be careful. I think I'm less high on the Shaedon Sharpe under just because we don't know which guy it's going to be. And it could be one of those guys. It could be the different guy. It could be that Sharpe falls to number 10. AJ Griffin, another guy I really like a lot, is another upside play. Very young, hasn't turned 19 yet, and he could be the guy to one of those teams. So it's tough to know. There are enough of them that I still feel okay about someone jumping over a Keegan Murray or one of the more established guys. But, you know, you might still get your Shaedon Sharpe to Washington, Wesh. I wouldn't be too surprised by that. So we'll see where these upside swings end up landing.
I think Washington's going to end up trading the pick, to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens. One more thing on Sharpe, and I mentioned this because I do think it matters in terms of draft positioning potentially and when you get picked. Sharpe, right? His agent only has one client, right? And that's Sharpe. Yeah. So this is someone who, you know, may or may not know how to work the phones and deal with the NBA community. So that could result in a big swing for Sharpe's draft positioning too.
Yeah, agreed. And that is one of the reasons why I've cooled a little bit on the Sharpe under. Like, look, when you bet an under 7.5, do the math, put up 7 fingers, you have 7 chances for Sharpe to get drafted. And we already know that Chet and Jabari and Paolo are going to be 3 of them. We already know Jaden Ivey is going to be one of them. We know it's very likely Keegan Murray at least gets into the 7. So that's 5. There are not a lot of slots left. And you're right. Like, we don't know if Shaedon Sharpe can play. We don't know if he's developed this year. We don't know if his agent is making calls. We don't know his physical, if he's passing the medicals. There are a lot of unknown things. The agent thing does make me a little queasy. It seems like they aren't really letting him be seen in a lot of places. Like, they're really trying to direct where he'll go. Maybe that's because somebody made him a promise already. Maybe Washington made him a promise. I don't know. I'm not reporting that. That could be out there. I'm a little worried. Like, if I could bet Shaedon Sharpe to go under 7.5, but then also, like, I love alternate lines. I love, you know, on NBA props or whatever. If I could bet like a Shaedon Sharpe to go out of the lottery, I would bet that side too, because I could see either way. I could see that someone fell in love and grabbed him, or I could see, oh shoot, my agent, who isn't super experienced at this and only has one client, we thought we had a promise to number 10 or 11 or whatever, but oops, the Knicks traded up and they took a different guy. So much for that promise. Now no one really knows my client and I am tumbling and just waiting for someone to swoop in. We get that every year. There's always a guy or two. And to me, though I like him, Shaedon Sharpe, I think, is probably the most likely tumble candidate. Like, you know, in the NFL draft, we get that shot of the green room of just like sad Aaron Rodgers waiting for somebody to save his fall. Please, will someone draft me? Shaedon Sharpe strikes me as a guy that could go that direction too. So he'll be an interesting one to watch.
Last one of these. And actually, I've kept you long enough. Let's just wrap up the pod here. And it's a good note to go out on because I absolutely love this one. I cannot wait to hear your reasoning for it. Everybody, and I mean everybody, has Chet going with one of the top 3 picks. However, you say bet him to go number 4 at, I believe, 55-1 odds. What's going on here?
Yeah. So the number is always moving. So you have to see what you can get at your book, but here's the logic. And it's kind of the thing I just did with Shaedon Sharpe a little bit. Look, I told you 20 minutes ago, Josh, bet Chet Holmgren number 1. I think there's value there, but I also think that there's value on him slipping. Of those top 3, Chet is a guy that you are most likely to love or hate. He's not you don't have an in-between opinion on Chet Holmgren. If you're sitting at home and you've seen one game, you turn on a Gonzaga game in March Madness, I promise you, you have an opinion on Chet Holmgren. Either you're like, oh my gosh, that dude is a unicorn. He swats shots. He brings the ball up the court. He dribbles between his legs and hits a pull-up 3 or dunks over a guy. Generational, incredible player, number 1. Or you look at him the way I did coming into the season, if I'm being honest, and you're like, bro, somebody's going to dunk on that dude and break him into a million pieces, and we will never see Chet Holmgren again. Like, Gumby out here can't even get to 200 pounds, and that body is never going to hold up. It's one or the other. You're nowhere in between. So here's where the bet logic comes in. Oklahoma City is notoriously tough to predict. Sam Presti always keeps his cards close to the vest. We don't know what he thinks. A lot of people seem to think that Oklahoma City really wants Jabari Smith. You talked earlier about the different smoke and everything, that maybe that's them posturing. So Jabari's the favorite to go number one. Paolo has been the favorite to go third. We've kind of had that locked in for a while. The Rockets even traded Christian Wood to kind of clear up an obvious big man spot for him. What if Oklahoma City comes up at number two and the guy they wanted is gone? And the guy they wanted was Jabari in this scenario, or maybe it was Paolo, whatever it is, it's not Chet. They have an opinion on Chet and they are not in on him. They have Alexei Pokuševski and they're like, yeah, this super skinny long dude thing hasn't worked out for us. Not saying Chet is that, but they have some experience. Chet Holmgren is the sort of guy, like the questions are there. If he suddenly doesn't go at number one and now it's the Thunder and they're like, you know what? I actually didn't want Chet. I'll take Paolo or I'll take Jaden Ivey, the explosive guard, and make the fun backcourt. Maybe they just love Ivey. Maybe it's not a Chet thing at all. Now suddenly it's like, well, gosh, Houston was locked in on Paolo this whole time, but suddenly he's not there. Or they're locked in on Paolo. He is there. We took him. I think we all expect the top three to be those three big guys. That's what everyone expects. That's what I expect. I said at the top, what's my MO? My MO is like imagining all the disaster scenarios. What is the thing that happens if the thing doesn't happen? What if it's not the three guys in the top three? And if it's not, to me, it's because Chet Holmgren fell. Everybody loves Paolo. Everyone is in love with Jabari Smith jumper. They're safe. They're easy. We've seen them in the NBA before. I can give you comps and you're like, oh yeah, Julius Randle. That is kind of like what I see from Paolo. There's no Chet Holmgrens in the NBA. And if you are at second or at third in the draft and you haven't loved it and you're not really seeing it in Chet, that's not a guy you're just going to talk yourself into and be like, well, you know, we'll take a Julius Randle. We'll see how it works out. Like you're in or you're out. So Chet to four, like he's good. He's too talented. He's not going to Shane Sharp out of the lottery. Like I hate that I just made him into a verb when the guy might be like a fourth pick in the draft. But the thing is, he's not going to fall all that way. The Kings want to trade out of their pick. We know this already. If Chet falls to four, then somebody's going to trade for Chet. Or look, like he would fit really well in Sacramento. Boy, that would work out really great for them.
That he'd work great next to Sabonis, wouldn't he?
He would be great. If you could just, I often think this, if you took everything we know about Chet Holmgren and then said that he was from like Lithuania and gave him an international name, I think you'd be the number one pick. I think people are like, wow, this crazy international style player that blocks shots and shoots and does everything. But instead it's like, really? The white American dude named Chet? That's the guy we're taking number one and building our franchise around.
7 feet tall and 195 pounds.
Yeah, we're taking the farmhand out of Minnesota. Like, look, I'm from North Dakota. I've known a few Chets in my life. Like, there are a few Chets background. These are the guys I played against in my school days. So I think if Chet is the guy who could slide a little bit. And look, if the number is 55 to one, you can bet 55 times on crazy, ridiculous long shots like this. And as long as you hit it one of those times, you're back out ahead. I'm an ROI better. I will take the losses. Don't look at my win-loss record. I just want to make some money. And I could see the scenario where Chet slips, and I'm going to bet on it just in case.
I love it, man. What a way to end this pod. This has been great, Brandon. You certainly did not disappoint, not by a long shot. Where can listeners find you, my man? Plug, whatever you want.
Yeah, well, I'm on Twitter at Wheaton Brando, Wheaton Brando. So you can find me there. I just had today, I'm at the Action Network, so be sure to follow there. Get the Action Network app. That's where all my bets go in, so you can get those notifications in real time. Great, great app for you to get.
Award-winning
Action Network app. That's, I don't want to toot the horn too long, but if you're going to toot, I'll
give it to you. Yeah. Award-winning.
So yeah, get the app, you know, it's like as fast as the arena update. So follow everything on there. I just had today at Action Network went up a betting mock draft. So I've never seen that before. I don't know if that's a thing that's out there. It's 20 picks and it's 20 bets. at every single pick, you can see who I picked for the mock draft, but then you can see the correlated bet to go with it. And is it a bet, a lean, a pass, a nibble? So there are 20 picks, 20 bets. I will have best bets going up. Got a lot of podcasts going up at Buckets, our NBA podcast. We've been doing lots of NBA draft coverage there. And yeah, all things Action Network. Be sure to jump in while you can. So that's where I'm at. And I'm sure I'll be back here before too long too, Josh.
Oh, hey, my man. I hope so. You do football too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I got to admit, we are, I believe today is either 78 or 79 days until the next actual NBA or NFL game. We've been sprinting for like 2 years of NBA, NFL, NBA, NFL, NBA, NFL. I am ready to take a nap on Friday after the NBA draft. Like that post-Christmas morning nap, it's coming. So I'm ready for that, but I'm excited for Christmas in the meantime.
Enjoy it, my man. Brandon Anderson, Action Network, at Wheaton Brando on Twitter. This was awesome. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It is my pleasure. It is my honor to welcome back in the man, the myth, the legend, ESPN's David Purdom. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You're way overselling me, though. There's nothing legendary about me.
Oh, I beg to differ. Thanks for coming back. Got to give the people what they want, you know? You know what I'm saying? All right. You know, before we get into this, I did have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What's this time of year like for you? I mean, NBA is over. Football hasn't started. It's got to be tough to find stuff to write about every week.
Yeah, it definitely slows down, but it's kind of a relief a little bit. We get to take a lot of our vacation time around this because football season, I mean, it's a 7 day a week gig, right? You are always on and you're writing 5-6 stories a week compared to now where I can focus on some longer form things and a few features here and there and then get a little break. So I'm enjoying it.
You've had a couple of good columns lately about what NFL bettors are already putting their money on. Most popular team, I don't think this is much of a surprise, in terms of both the number of bets and money wagered, it's the Bills, right? That's the most popular team.
Yeah, they're the consensus favorites to win the Super Bowl, and they're attracting the bulk of the money. I think they had twice as much money as any other team at multiple sports books. So the Bills are the betting public's team du jour today.
Okay, makes sense to me. Great team. Seems like Josh Allen may make it even better. Completely understand why people would want to bet on the Bills. However, there's also a ton of action, apparently, on the Jets.
Yes. Can you believe it? When I first started hearing this, I was like, seriously? But there has been one of the first big bets that we heard all when the odds to win next year's Super Bowl came out was a $5,000 on the Jets at 200-1 odds. And they're not the only one. There's been several, you know, four figure bets, a couple $500 bets. And the biggest liability to win the Super Bowl at multiple sports picks is the Jets. And I don't know if you've noticed, they haven't been very good lately. And so it's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, no, from your column, the Jets have the worst record in the league over the past five seasons, tied with the Giants, both teams at 22-59. And nevertheless, though, you wrote that more bets have been placed on the Jets to win the Super Bowl overall than any other team other than Buffalo. Also, I love this, Dave. You had a couple of quotes that made me laugh in this Jets piece. One, you had Tom Gable, the sportsbook director at the Borgata, say, "I'm not too concerned about the Jets." That was the quote. Basically like, hey, bettors, come on. We'll keep taking your Jets money. And then the other one I liked, it was, here it is. Sportsbooks reached out to customers who had bet the Jets to win the Super Bowl on behalf of ESPN to participate in the story, but were denied. Some bettors said they were worried about being mocked, which I suppose is what we're doing right now. Bettors wouldn't go on the record, and they felt like they had to bet on the Jets in secrecy. I'm gonna bet on them, but I don't want anybody to know.
I thought that was funny too. And you know, the Jets have significant room for improvement, right? To throw your money down on the Jets, a lot of people say, oh, just give it to charity or light it on fire or whatever it is. And now people are saying the same thing last year about the Bengals though, right? We had some bets early on in the season on the Bengals and people are like, just throw it, you know, throw the money in the trash or whatever. The Bengals were around 100-1, 150-1 entering the season, I believe, last year. So there is precedence here that some long shots can turn it around. Now the Bengals have Joe Burrow. The Jets have Zach Wilson. Zach has not yet shown that potential, in my opinion, to be a Joe Burrow type quarterback.
Why do you think all this money is coming in on the Jets?
They had a good draft. Their draft was really respected. You know, they got Thibodeau and they got the kid out of Cincinnati, the corner, Sauce Gardner. And then there were some offseason moves that they got a couple good tight ends. So people thought they had their best offseason so far. Now, a lot of some of these bets, the guys that I did talk to who were willing to say, yeah, I bet the Jets were Jets fans. I went into like a Jets community called the Jets Lounge and found a couple people. But there was, you know, more optimism at this point of any offseason that they could remember in quite a while. So there is optimism. They did have a decent offseason. Is there enough to get to the Super Bowl in a loaded AFC conference? That seems a little hard to believe.
There's no way this ends well for these Jets bettors. There's no way. A couple of interesting bets that you had, a couple of other ones. At the Superbook, somebody put 25 grand on the Bucks to win the NFC, got 7-2 odds. Caesars has somebody putting 2500 bucks on Kirk Cousins to win the MVP, 100-1 odds. I actually don't hate this one, although the system he's in now worries me a little bit. But Jameis to lead the league in passing yards at 50-1. Caesars had somebody drop $2,000 on that, you wrote. A few more of these. WynnBET's largest liability is Trey Lance to win MVP at 40-1. I think that's people remembering the Lamar year when he was a long shot, right? And thinking, so I get the logic behind it. It seems like there's a ton of love for the Eagles, right? Kind of across the board.
Yeah, the Eagles are the most popular bet in the season win totals up at the Borgata, over 9.5 wins, I think they are right now. The Borgata always gets its an Atlantic City book, and they always get a lot of Philadelphia money. They get a lot of Jets money, a lot of Giants money. But even so, the bookmaker there, Tom Gable, said that, you know, this was exceptional amount of interest. In fact, I think there's four times more bets on the Eagles over the 9.5 wins than there is on any other team over or under. So it's the most popular bet. People are really back in the Eagles. Of course, they picked up A.J. Brown in the offseason, which was a big name. So it'll be interesting to see. I played them over last year and got lucky and won. I don't know, 9.5 seems like a lot. But I also kind of believe in Hurts more than a lot of people. I just feel like he's always been a winner at Alabama. Then he goes to Oklahoma and put up big numbers. And he's kind of, you know, emerged as the Eagles starter the last couple of years. So we'll see how he does. But I have faith in him.
A potentially weak division, too. Sure. That might be part of it as well. One more I liked. Somebody bet 5K on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl at 150-1 odds. Not a great bet anyway. But then you write that 5 days later, they traded Matt Ryan to the Colts.
That was brutal. When I've heard that, I had to chuckle. I mean, can you imagine going in there? Not only you're betting on the Falcons, but to begin with, but now you lose your starting all-pro quarterback or, you know, veteran star quarterback for however long, even 5 days later. That must have been a pretty big gut punch.
Oh, my God. You're just throwing away $5,000. I guess you kind of were anyway, even if Matt Ryan was still
with you. But it's but still, you, I don't know, maybe you got more hope with Ryan than you do now, right?
Yeah, for sure. I got a couple other topics I want to ask you about, Dave, before I let you go. But any other good ones that I'm missing, betting, anything else from NFL stuff?
You know, the Lions are another team that's kind of surprising, that's attracting a little more action than a lot of people. They were a very popular bet to make the playoffs. You know, that's a division's going to be interesting with Aaron Rodgers. They, you know, dropped off some talent, the receivers. So we'll see how that goes. But the Lions have been another team kind of in that same genre as the Jets, as a team that's surprising and getting a lot of money.
I don't hate that. I was on the Lions over last year, which didn't hit. Yeah. But if you watch those games closely, there were a bunch of close calls. It wouldn't have been crazy for them to pick up another couple of wins beyond what they did. And people seem to like that coach. Everybody laughs Dan Campbell because the you know whatever you said, bite the kneecap comment. But people seem to play really hard for him. I don't know. That's an organization to watch, I think.
I agree.
Okay, here are those other things I wanted to ask you about. One. Have you talked to books at all about live golf betting? This we've talked about it a little bit on the pod, but this is the Saudi funded tour. And we talked about it last week on the pod. I had a guest who was saying that a lot of books weren't even taking live bets. However, we're recording this Monday afternoon, just found out this morning, reportedly Brooks Koepka is going to the tour. More and more guys are doing this. I imagine books are going to want to start taking bets if they haven't already. What's going on here?
Yeah, we have the second event coming up on the week of 4th of July. It'll be, I think it's Thursday through Saturday, and it's in Portland, Oregon. A lot of people so far, a lot of the sports books have not put it up. You got to go through a process with the gaming commissions and saying, okay, we would like to do this. Can you approve this? So they're going through that process. I imagine we'll see a lot more books offering it here in a couple of weeks. That first tournament, though, they probably just weren't prepared. You know, the books that did have it up, there was no significant betting action on it to start. I think people are probably still trying to find out how to watch it, where to watch it. I think you can only see it on YouTube or another streaming service. So it will increase as we get more big names. Koepka joining today will be a draw, I'm sure. It'll be interesting how that plays out. You know, I am a golf fan, and seeing the PGA kind of getting taken a little bit is eye-opening. But we'll just kind of have to see how it plays out. In terms of betting, it's not going to approach anything to the PGA Tour, I wouldn't think, for quite a while. If there's anything this year, this opening year, that approaches any kind of PGA Tour event, I would be really surprised.
Might take a little bit for bettors to figure out the format too, because it's smaller field, no cut. So it's like, you know, we're kind of used to betting on the PGA at this point. A little tougher with LIV to know what's a smart place to put your money in.
Agreed.
Last one, apparently NBA draft, which we're talking about elsewhere on this episode of the podcast, very popular with bettors this year, right?
Incredibly popular. In fact, at Caesars, they had already taken more money on the odds to be the number one pick of the NBA draft than they did on the whole odds to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. And that's almost unheard of. NFL is king, right? We've seen significant odds movement. Jabari Smith is the favorite right now. Holmgren and Banchero are the second and third pick, but Banchero moved up already this week significantly. I think he was 20-1 within the last 2 weeks, and he's like +175, the second favorite at Caesars now. I talked to a lot of bettors, and they're watching and monitoring this line movement. Anytime that line movement, anytime you get those differences in the market where you can get a player at a certain price at one book and a better price at another book, that opens up opportunities. So books have been reporting that they've seen a lot of sharp action on this market.
Do you think that the sharp action is coming in large part because you have these kind of three guys that I think most of the experts consider to be top notch, but there's not that much separation, it doesn't seem to me, between the three of them, and therefore the sharp better see opportunities?
I think they're more looking at those prices, you know, let's get this guy at the highest price we can find. Let's get Holmgren at the highest price we can provide, and let's get Smith at the best price they can get. So they are kind of targeting those three guys and just trying to grab the best odds. And hopefully the one that they get at the longest odds hits.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense to me. Dave, what are you plugging today, man? What do you have cooking?
You know, I'm looking into that LIV golf event here next week. So I've got some emails out for there, seeing how that's going to turn out. I'm interested to see if LIV as an organization gets involved in the betting space, as a lot of leagues have, including the PGA Tour. PGA Tour just announced today that they had added another official betting partner in Bet365, which is a massive, massive sports book in the UK. It's just kind of finding its legs here in the US. So I'm interested to see what LIV is doing there and seeing if they are going to join in the betting space. So I'm looking at that. There was also a big bust a couple of weeks ago with a former bracelet winner of the World Series of Poker. Did you see that?
Yeah. So they were like, basically, I mean, according to the federal government anyway, basically scamming people, saying that they had locks when they didn't. Is that correct? Accurate?
Yeah. Saying they had inside information of games being fixed, and you'd call in and they'd tell you and you'd give them money. And, you know, the DOJ's release, and they always a little go over the top, right? But they said that people that were victims of this lost their life savings, and $25 million was lost to this group. So I'm kind of digging in on that, seeing how that. I just hate to hear stories like that. It's been a part of the sports betting industry. Frauds have used the sports betting industry for a vehicle to pull off their cons for a long time. So I hate to see it. I would definitely want to spotlight it if I can, to make sure people don't get duped again.
No, I look forward to reading everything that you put out, as always. David Purdom, ESPN, one of my absolute favorite guests on the pod. Thanks for coming back, buddy. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
There it is, ladies and gents. Thanks to Brandon and Dave. I hope everybody makes a little cash. Ben the Draft Thursday. As always, we'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling. and email me, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, have a great week.